I know what you're thinking. When it comes to letting my little light shine, thanks, but no thanks. It's true. Nobody likes Bible-thumping dingbats or nut jobs for Jesus. If word were to get out about you, if word were to get out that you go to church, you would be the one all your relatives turn to at holiday dinners to offer the obligatory blessing, which some uncle will belch during, no doubt. You would be the one cornered at office cocktail parties and made to speak for Christianity every time the village lunatic lights some other faith's holy book on fire, or made to speak for Christianity when fundamentalists on the radio misrepresent the religious sentiments of the founding fathers. You would be that hate-mongering, homophobic, holy-rolling robot programmed to spout party lines on evolutionary biology and on abortion, and etc. So if your preferred approach is rather to hide out with a bushel basket over your head, to take the tack of undercover Christian, I don't blame you. I mean, I'm a minister, right? I'm a minister. But I'm learning that it is advisable to never tell that to people. At least not in certain social situations. Once I was having my hair cut, and the stylist asked me the loathsome question, "So, what do you do for a living?" What I should have said was something to the effect of, "Oh, I consult for a small foundation." But instead I said, "I'm a pastor." And then it was rather quiet. She was searching for something, for anything to offer by way of small talk. Silence. Silence until she said, "It's interesting that you're a priest, because I had a cousin one time who waited to have sex until she was married." Oh, yeah. I can say, also, in case you are wondering, writing it on your online dating profile, writing that you are a minister, this will guarantee you fewer hits. And between friends, I'll admit that I'm kind of torn about this anyway, because, yes, it's true, letting all of eHarmony know that I am an honest-to-goodness man of God, while letting them know this, will surely not help in terms of getting my mother those grandchildren she's clamoring for. Still, a part of me thinks, well, okay, sure. No clergyman of the month calendar has invited me to be like their strapping Reverend September or something. But you know, like, as far as reverends go, I'm like tolerably attractive. So I feel like perhaps there's potential for evangelism. You know, like maybe you don't think much of me for a Friday night, but you'll love me on a Sunday morning. Anybody here from eHarmony? This is my way of confessing that when it comes to letting my little light shine, thanks but no thanks, Jesus. And I don't mean as a minister now, just as a Christian. As a Christian, to stand up under cultural assumptions and expectations, and to stand up under the awkwardness or the disappointment or the confusion that comes when inevitably what being a Christian means to some random other person bears no relation to what being a Christian means to me, to stand up under all of that, that's exhausting. So how about some truth in advertising from the pulpit? Odds are, letting your light shine before others in our time, today, to me anyway, it looks like a ministry of taking the venom, of letting people lay out everything they've got, and with utmost grace and non-defensiveness and maybe a sense of humor, just taking it all, whether it's the sophomoric indignation of some newly minted atheist who's just realized the Crusades happened, or whether it's the righteous anger of someone who is still suffering the fallout of the racism or the heterosexism churches co-sponsored. Just to take it. It falls to us to take on that pain, and to take on that grief, and to take on that rage, to take it on, and to take it in. To take it to heart. To take it to heart the wake of evil that's sort of reeked under, but in contempt of the cross, to take in, to take to heart the evil, and then to take it upon ourselves to ensure that the evils of the past know no future. So letting your light shine before others in our time today, to me anyway, it looks in part like a ministry of quiet presence to the reeling ones, and a ministry of practicing and proving the church's repentance. Let your light shine so that others might see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. This is the truly remarkable thing. It's not too late. Even granting some Christians' foolishness, and even granting the innumerable wrongs worked on the church's watch, even granting all that, God is content to come to look either bad or good by association with us. Even granting the inauspicious history of the Christian church, God seems content to use the Christian church still. This is rather the rub of this morning's scripture lesson, right? God's reputation is on the line. What other people believe about God, in some measure, that hangs on what they believe about God's people. There is a relationship between the good we do and the glory that comes to be due to God. Let your light shine so that others might see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Now, no offense to any of you, but if I were God, I'm not sure I would stake my good name on the likes of you and me. History may come to judge us just as harshly as the Christians of yore. Even so, since time out of mind, this seems just the gamble that God goes for. God gets entangled with us. And God trusts us. Again, even granting all that God knows about us as a church and as lone souls, even granting all that God knows about us and knows about me, the stew pot of self-doubt and attitude and dark motives in me, even granting all that God knows about us, the way I will say the wrong thing and surely do the wrong thing, even granting all that God knows about us, the joke I will tell which crosses the line, and the trust I will betray, and the confidences I will break, even granting all that God knows about me, and all that God knows about you, God will be known as none other than my God and your God, as our God. And probably God would be a lot more popular right now if God had gone about the business of being God alone. But that's not the way it works. God goes all in on you. God gives all that God was and all that God is and all that God shall be to rest upon your shoulders, to ride upon the life you lead. Because God really seems to think that you can be God to a trying coworker so that they might come to believe that there is one who forbears. God seems to really think that you can be God to those on the streets so that they might come to believe that there is one who cares. God thinks that you can be God to the laughingstock and to the lonely and to the overlooked and to the left out so that they might come to believe there is one who loves. God thinks that you can be God to faithless friends and to spouses who fumble their vows and to children who should know better, that they might come to believe there is one who forgives. God thinks that you can be God to people who have given up on God, that you can make it safe for them to believe again in kindness and mercy and dignity and healing. Because a God like that, people are desperate for a God like that. People would crawl the desert sands to know a God like that, but they don't know such a God exists. Let your light shine so that others might see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. I don't often conclude my sermons like this, but Old South Church, I have a challenge for you. I challenge you, this is on the honor code now, but I challenge you to let your light shine so that others can see it. I challenge each and every one of you who call this house of worship your home. I challenge you, in the spirit of this morning's scripture, to try it with me. Me, Captain Awkwardness, try not letting shyness and squeamishness have the last word when it comes to talking about faith. I challenge you to try thinking of one person in your life who you know is desperate for the kindness and the mercy and the healing and the dignity that can only come from God. Try thinking of one person and then try praying for that person. Try praying for that person every day. Pray for that person every day for weeks and for months, and pray for them all year. Pray for their wellness of soul. Pray for them. And at some point in your praying, I promise you, you will know, this is where it gets scary, you will know it's time to invite them to church. I challenge you to share your faith and invite someone to church. You know, this church has a vision of doubling its size in 4 years' time. And this vision didn't come from anyone sitting on this chancel. It came from you. You decided that the work of justice and world mending and beauty making, that work is too big to tackle just you and I. You decided that we need twice as many Christians on the job, twice as many Christians to dispatch to prisons and to shelters and to street corners and to courthouses. And the only way we will make meaningful strides toward that goal is with each person in the pew pulling. We can put up the coolest signs in Boston, and we can give the best hugs, and we can beam great smiles to newcomers. That's not going to translate into twice as many Christians. What will translate into twice as many Christians working for God and for good in the world, it's mathematically certain, I think. What will certainly double our size is if each and every Old Souther takes up this challenge and takes up this charge, finds a friend, prays for that friend, serves that friend, ministers to that friend, and makes that friend a new Old Souther. I know that this is awkward, but I want to say that it's not just good for God or good for the church, good for the world. It's good for you. You could sue me for spiritual malpractice if I didn't tell you that as a Christian, you will always lack in courage, and as a person of faith, your faith will always want for vitality if you do not share your Christianity and share your faith. God trusts us. God trusts me and trusts you to communicate God's goodness and love. And that does not make any of this more comfortable, but it does make it all the more consequential. For you are the only thing of God many people may ever know. And you make God look good. Amen.